Welcome to the third sermon in our sermon series entitled Playlist. This sermon series teaches how songs can help us connect to the reality of God and inspire us to live the Christian life. Today's sermon title, Songs of Faith. Open your Bible to Psalm 118, verses 5 through 9, and let's begin.
I looked on the poll this morning and Ohio State is rated number 2. Too bad for Georgia, took it on the teeth yesterday. This is just for the football fans in the church. Oh Lord, I call upon you as the one who promised to answer our prayer. I call on you as the one who said, you are on our side. And I pray that I could speak this morning in the kind of way that people would have a greater faith in Christ and that faith would affect the quality of their life. Bless us, I pray. Amen. I'm asking you to memorize some Bible verses. I know I'm asking for the impossible, but I'm not going to quit badgering you for the whole series. You just might as well accept it. I'm going to badger you about memorizing Bible verses. Now, this is why. If you memorize a Bible verse, as you go through your day-to-day life and you need it, you can remember it. If you don't memorize it, when you need it, you won't have it. You see, in life, what we need is there are moments where we need to recalibrate our thinking, and we need something to help us do that. So when we memorize Bible verses, in those moments, we can bring that verse out, it can recalibrate our thinking, and we will be a better person in the moment. Do you see what I'm saying? All right. So we talked about songs of comfort. When life makes me uncomfortable, I can say, now I'm up in front of here and I'm going to fail. When life makes me uncomfortable, I can say, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The glad shout is in the tent of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I can remind myself that God is my strength and my salvation. When I need grace, when I need to be gracious, I can call out the song of grace, and I can say, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Right? And then I have another slip for you this morning, and try to memorize it. It will be a strength to you. All right. You'll never have to apologize to God. You know, God, I'm sorry I spent all that time to memorize a Bible verse. But you may have to apologize to him for the time you spent on doing something instead of. All right? No? Well, you're a hard bunch. I want to introduce you to the Ichneumon family of wasps. It kind of looks like a wasp, doesn't it? These Ichneumon wasps are different than any other wasp and basically different than any other creature on the planet. They probably got the idea for alien from this wasp. This wasp has a tube on its tail instead of a stinger. And it flies around and finds caterpillars. Ichneumon actually means tracker. It tracks caterpillars, and when it finds them, it lands on top of them, and pokes the tube into them and puts little larvae in there. And then the larvae eat the caterpillar from the inside out. That's pretty ugly, isn't it? Next time you're in a dingy restaurant, just remember, thank God you're not an Ichthyman wasp. I'm telling you about this wasp because in the 19th century, it created a huge, huge stir. It raised the question of evil and ugliness in the world. It raised the question, if God created the world good, then what in the world are creatures like this doing here? Charles Darwin himself wrote about this, and he said that evil is such a hard idea that he doubted if the most intelligent person on the earth understood it. If it was only Ichthyman wasps that we had to worry about, we would be pretty safe. They don't really bother us. But they represent a real hard fact. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that creates stress and anxiety. And whether we like it or not, chaos is normal for the crazy world we live in. Now, here's the problem. As Christians, we think, I'm a good person. I'm on the good side. Those things shouldn't happen to me. Somehow or another, God should shield me from bad stuff. But church, I want to say that isn't the way it works. Bad things happen to good people all the time. Bad things happen to good people every single day. I want to say as many bad things happen to good people as bad people, but that's really not true. Most good people aren't out at dingy bars at 2 o'clock in the morning when people start shooting. So, I mean, use a little common sense. I taught my kids nothing good happens after 11 o'clock. Get home. Right? But good people get sick. Good people have car accidents. Good people have trouble at work. Good people have family struggles. I want to say it, being good is not a shield against the chaos of life. And so I have to have a tool to deal with the chaos of life. And that tool I want to talk about is faith. Faith is the God-given tool that I use to deal with the chaos and the distress of life. And we're going to look at Psalm 118, verse 5. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? When distress happens, what is your first response? See, most of us, when stress happens, our first response is stressful. I respond to stress with stress. I respond to chaos with confusion. All right, that just makes it worse, right? If somebody around you is raising the anxiety level and you respond in anxiety, it just got worse, not better. If you're feeling anxious and you speak to yourself in the inner person in an anxious way, you make it worse. We've all been there, haven't we? So the first response to stress is faith. And what is faith? It's calling on the Lord. The minute you feel the anxiety, the minute you feel the distress, the minute chaos confronts you, that's when you stop right then and you call on the name of the Lord. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? It means to pray. So I have a morning devotion time every single day. I have to have it. I can't get through the day without it. So every morning, I look at my calendar and I know what I have to do. And I know some things are more stressful than others. Some things I see in my calendar, I say, oh, I can't wait for that. And other things I see in my calendar, I go, oh. So before it happens, I'm already going to say a prayer about it. In the morning, I'm going to say, dear God, this meeting is probably going to be uncomfortable and unpleasant. There's going to be a lot of stress in this. I'm calling upon you right now to give me the faith to do this meeting in a way that's helpful to everyone and pleases you. See, if you know it's coming, why not talk to the boss about it? Church. I don't just practice my own daily devotions. I believe in family prayer. It's not elaborate. Brothers, I'm talking to you right now. All the men in the church, I'm talking to you. Spiritual leader of your home means you lead the way in saying a prayer for you and your family. Every day, I take my wife's hand. I pray for her, and I pray for our family. I pray for whatever's happening in our life. See, I think the more I ask God for help, the better family I'm going to have. The more I do it on my own, the more stress and anxiety I'm going to have in my family. And is it really so hard? Is it really such a big stress to say to your wife, let me hold your hand and say a short prayer? Don't pray for 45 minutes. That's not the time to do it. And pray specifically. Let your wife hear you pray for her. Pray for your kids. Pray for your grandkids. I believe in being in a life group where we pray for each other. I'm in a men's life group every Tuesday morning. We meet back here in the beautiful part of the building, and we have a devotion, and then we pray. And we pray for each other. You know why? Because if you don't pray for your friend might not get prayed for. See, listen to what this is saying. Faith is a skill that combats life distress. And at the core of faith is the belief that God likes me and that when I talk to him, he's listening and he's going to help. If you don't believe God likes you and if you don't believe he's listening to you, no wonder you don't pray. But faith says God is listening and I'm going to talk to him about it. And because I talk to him about it, this will be better. Church. Listen to what it says. In my distress, I called on the Lord. He answered me and set me free. Do you find that a little odd? So when I was thinking about this, why does it say that he set me free? Okay, because stress is confining. Let me tell you how. When you get all stressed out, your thoughts are confined to a very few things. You think about the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, don't you? The thing that's stressing you out, you think about it again and again and again and again and again. In my distress, my thoughts became confined. And I called on the Lord, and he answered me, and he set my thinking free, and I could see options that I couldn't see when my thoughts were confined just to the anxiety. Church? See, I'm recalibrating my thinking. I'm able to think about options and not just the stress. When I am stressed out, my emotions are confined. I get very narrow in my emotions. I feel helpless. I feel overwhelmed. I feel angry. Whatever your emotional response to stress is, your emotions get very, very limited. But when you call on the Lord in faith, he answers you and he sets your emotions free and you can feel differently about it. Doesn't that make sense to you? This is a sad thing too. Long-term stress affects our relationships. It shouldn't, but it does. Believe it or not, people get tired of you being stressed out. Go figure. People get weary of it. But in my distress, I called on the Lord. He answered me, and he set me free so I can relate to people in a more healthy way than just in my stressed out condition. Church? He sets me free, and I have new options to think about. He sets me free, and I feel differently than I did. He sets me free, and I have better peers than I've ever had. So what is this faith actually? It's belief and behavior. I called on the Lord. He answered me. He set me free. All right, belief and behavior. What do I believe? Number one, the Lord is on my side. What do I believe? I don't have to be afraid. What do I believe? What's the worst that can happen to me? Let's work our way through these. When life is chaotic and you're feeling stress, what you believe matters. And if you believe the Lord is on your side, you're not doing it alone. I've actually heard people mock people who say the Lord is on my side. I have no trouble saying the Lord is on my side. He said he was on my side. I'm not the one who made that up. I'm just quoting what he said. The Lord said, I'm on your side. I got your back. You're not in this alone. Number two, do not be afraid. Here we are again. Faith is the belief that I don't have to be afraid because the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Faith is the belief that the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Faith is the belief that what is the worst that can happen? What is the worst that can happen? Well, I mean, if you just want to go to the absolute very worst, the very worst that can happen is you go to be with the Lord. That's the very worst that can happen. Okay, but what I want to say is, why go to the worst first? Don't be one of the kind of people that go to the worst first. Say, the Lord is on my side. I don't have to be afraid. this isn't as bad as what my fear and my anxiety tell me. Church, we had a good man who came to this church, and his heart just wore out. And one of the last times he was here, I stood and talked to him in that doorway right there. And he said, the worst that can happen is I go to heaven. Okay, I know you don't want to go right now, but life is chaotic. But if you say to yourself, the very worst thing that can happen is I get to be with the Heavenly Father who loves me infinitely more than I understand, that recalibrates my thinking. Church? Huh? No? But faith is more than a belief, it's a behavior. Listen, it's more than a belief, it's a behavior. If I believe the Lord is on my side and I'm feeling stress, then I have to behave like the Lord is on my side. If I believe the Lord is on my side and I'm feeling confused, I have to behave like the Lord is on my side and do the next right thing. Faith is more than a belief, it is a behavior. If I have faith, then I say, I don't have to be afraid, and I have to stop behaving like I'm afraid. Church, if I believe the Lord is on my side, if I have faith, then what can man do to me? Then I have to start living like I'm not intimidated by the chaotic and broken world I live in. Verse 7, the Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. The Lord has the help that I need. Let's talk about a lack of faith. A lack of faith questions whether God is present. Have you ever been in a really hard time and you've said to yourself, I don't even know if God cares? Huh? That's what a lack of faith sounds like. Why would you assume that he doesn't care? Have you ever been in a bad place and say, I wonder if God is here to help me? Why would you assume that he isn't there? See, a lack of faith says, I wonder, I doubt if God is present with me when I need him. This verse recalibrates it. And instead of saying, I wonder if the Lord is here, I make a faith statement that says, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is on my side. He's my helper. I don't doubt his help. I affirm that he's going to help me. A lack of faith fears the Lord's arbitrary anger. I run into this sometimes too. People go through a hard time and they say to me, Doc, why is God doing this to me? Okay, God isn't doing it to you. That's life. Do you get this, church? God isn't walking around saying, you've been bad. I'm going to give you the flu. No, the flu just goes around. Right? But when I get the flu, I can say, the Lord is on my side. He's my helper. Do you get this? Lack of faith questions the loving impulse of God's heart. Some people say, yes, I believe that God is there for other people. I'm just not sure he loves me. That's a lack of faith. Faith says, God doesn't love me because I'm good and wonderful. He loves me because he's loving. And I'm going to affirm his love to me when I need it. Faith is an awareness that the Lord is on my side as my helper. Everybody who's under 30, listen to me. If you're under 30, I want your special attention. Your Christian life hinges on, can you believe that the Lord is on your side and your helper? Your Christian life hinges on that. Because if you believe that, you're going to live a different way than if you don't believe it. Young people, the courage you need to live the life that you have the potential to live is connected to your Christian faith, that in your heart of hearts, you believe the Lord is on your side and he's going to help you. When you're at school and kids treat you like a jerk, the Lord is on your side and he's going to help you. When the person you like breaks up with you and your dad goes, yes, you have to say to yourself, the Lord is on my side. He's my helper. When your mom is threatening to kill you because you got a bad grade on your report card, you say to yourself, the Lord is on my side. He's my helper. When you go to college and they put peer pressure on you to do things that your own heart says don't do, you say, the Lord is on my side. He's my helper. When you're trying to decide about a career, don't settle too low. The Lord is on my side. He's my helper. Church. People who are as my age, am I telling the truth? Young people, settle early in your heart. The Lord is on my side. He is my helper. I can attempt things that I wouldn't have otherwise attempted. Church. Now, some of you who should have learned this earlier and didn't, I want to talk to you now. No matter what age you are, it makes a difference on Monday morning when you start living in the real world that you believe the Lord is on my side, he is my helper. You have hard things to confront next week. You got difficult challenges. Recalibrate your mind. It's not too hard for you. It's not too much for you because the Lord is on your side. He is your helper. The Lord is your helper. Faith creates the expectation of triumph. The psalmist said, I will look in triumph on those who hate me. Evil is not as strong as good. One more time. Evil is not as strong as good. And God is not morally neutral. He is your helper. He's on your side. Verse 8, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to put your trust in man. This word for put your trust in man, the word for put your trust, is have your sense of security or get your confidence from. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than have a sense of security by who likes you and who doesn't like you. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to have your sense of confidence that these people support you, or you lose your confidence because these people don't support you. Do you see what the psalmist is saying? In my life, as I'm living day to day, and I'm confronting problems, and I'm overcoming chaos, I have to say to myself, my security and my confidence isn't based on who will support me. My security and my confidence is based on my faith that God is on my side and he's going to help me. Church. Now I want to talk about what kind of people you can trust. Learned trust and earned trust. And the first thing I want to say is honesty. You can't trust people who are consistently dishonest. Do you get it? Because they are consistently dishonest for a reason. They have to be dishonest to cover up something in them that isn't trustworthy. And so you can't trust dishonest people. Do you want to raise your trust with the people around you? Be more honest. Second of all, only trust people who are accountable. People who figure out their life in a way that they don't have to be accountable, they're doing it for a reason. They don't want to be accountable because they're hiding something. I'm accountable to the elders. They meet with me every single month. We met yesterday morning forever. Don't ever trust someone who isn't accountable to anyone because they've organized their life not to be accountable for a reason. Doesn't that make sense to you? Three, you can trust generous people. They're generous. You can't trust people who aren't generous. They're not generous. What about the person who says, yeah, I'll help you, and then they despise you for asking them? They're not generous with their time. They're not generous with who they are. They actually despise you because you trusted in someone who wasn't generous. Church? Four, competent. Trust people who are competent in the area that you need them. You can be honest, accountable, and generous, and not competent. I closed up my trailer for the winter. Sharon said, how long do you think it'll take? I said, oh, about an hour. 5 hours later. Don't trust me for anything mechanical. I want to be honest. I'm untrustworthy. I couldn't get the hose off the trailer. Could not get the hose off. Ruined the hose. Made a mess. Said some potty words. I am not competent to fix things. You see? A person can be honest, they can be accountable, they can be generous, but incompetent. You want to trust people who are competent in the area that you're trusting them. So, the psalmist says, instead of getting your security and your confidence from people, how about turning first to the God who has never lied? He's completely honest. He doesn't have to, but he makes himself accountable to us. He says, when you called me, I will be accountable to answer you. He makes himself accountable to us. He's as generous, he is the definition of generous, and he's competent in all things. Faith is a refuge, and chaos are inescapable. The Lord is our refuge. All right, listen to this. Families, I want to talk to you. Family life is chaotic. The very best family has chaos. You get it? Going here, going there, picking them up, dropping them off, getting sick, lost my tennis shoes. Yeah. It's chaotic. I'm feeling this, especially in my family. Sharon wasn't feeling too good this week, and we couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She made a doctor's appointment, but couldn't get in till 2090. So she wasn't feeling good and had a pain in her side and her back. And not very medical. And I'd rub her back. And so last night, I went to bed about 10 o'clock. About midnight, she wakes me up and said, "I've got shingles." Chaos, shingles, all broken out. And now I'm at my worst. I'm totally sympathizing with her, and I don't know, I don't have a clue what to do. Huh? Life, family life is chaotic. We stress each other out without meaning to. But we have faith. And faith says it's better to take your refuge in the Lord than to find your security and your confidence in people. Church. When my family is difficult, that's when I say, in my distress, I call on the Lord, and he answers me and sets me free. The Lord is my helper. I am not afraid. Church, it recalibrates the human heart. So the best I could do was go downstairs, get water and Motrin. That Dr. Dave. But it wasn't the best I could do, because I could pray and I could say to the Heavenly Father, our friend is in pain. Could you please help us out here? Church, do you get this? Faith is something I do in the moment of stress. And the thing I do is I talk to the Heavenly Father, the one who is on my side, who is my helper, who is altogether trustworthy, and he recalibrates my mind, and I'm able to deal with it in a way differently than I would have. Verse 9, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Three political myths. You'll hear them in all the commercials please, could November 2nd get here? Political myths. Number one, my opponent is bad, so be very afraid. There's even a commercial out now, believe it or not, there's a policeman, and I can't even remember what it's about. A police officer said, if you're not afraid, you should be. Church, that's political manipulation. And I don't even know what the commercial is for. I try to turn them, click them. Church, the second political myth, I'm fundamentally better than other people. Do you really think the people in Washington are fundamentally better than you are? Do you really think the people in Columbus are fundamentally better than you are? No. They're people just like us. Believe it or not. They don't have any superpowers. They're people just like us. The third political myth. I'll stop the distress and the chaos that the people who had this office before me created. It's every... Oh, the world is terrible, but that's so-and-so's fault. When you elect me, I'll fix it all. Right? These are all political myths, church. Here's what I do. I vote, but I exercise faith in God. My real hope of a better world is God working through people like you and I, not God waving a magic wand over Washington or Columbus. You make the world a better place one day at a time. Church, that's not a myth. It's not a myth that the quality of your family's life is affected more by you than by any politician. The quality of your children's future is affected more by you than by a politician. Church, I vote, but I do what the Apostle Paul taught us, pray for those who have authority over you. If the person I vote for gets elected, I pray for him. If the person I didn't vote for gets elected, I pray for them. I exercise faith and say, God, you are greater than politics. So here's what I'm saying. Christianity doesn't protect you from a broken and chaotic world. Christianity doesn't protect you from stress. But you know what it does? It gives you a resource that non-Christians don't have. It gives you the resource of faith. In your distress, you have an option. You can call on the Lord, and he's promised to answer you. He's promised to set you free. He's put himself on the record that he is your helper. He says, don't give in to fear. What's the worst thing that can happen to you when I'm on your side? He says to you, he's on your side. He's your helper. And you're going to triumph over whatever it is that is plaguing you and distressing you. Church, I can't promise you Christianity will protect you from a broken world. Here's what I can promise you. If you exercise faith, it won't eat you from the inside out. Church, if you will exercise faith, faith is the antidote to stress and life eating you from the inside out. Our dear Heavenly Father, I call upon your name. I do believe that you're on our side. I pray that we would push back against fear and stress and chaos, and that our faith in you would be more than an idea. It would turn into a behavior. And we would behave in ways that overcome the chaos and the stress because we're confident that you're on our side. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.